Blessings, everyone. My name is David Bullock Sr., and I would like to welcome you to another edition of Relationship and Not Religion. Saying so we can continue to increase our relationship with him and so we can get higher in what he's called us to be. Let's turn real quickly. I'm going to come out of the book of Acts, the 9th chapter, and we're going to look at a couple of things in here so that we can, keep moving along in Christ. The Bible makes a statement, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Workmen need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So let's dive in here and start rightly dividing some word of truth in here. Amen? Amen. Well, like I said, I want to start in Acts, the 9th chapter. Acts, the 9th chapter, we're going to start at the first verse, and those of you who are following along, I'm coming out of the King James Version of the Bible, so that we're all on the same page here. And Acts, the 9th chapter, starting at the first verse, it makes a statement here. It says, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slanders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. Verse 2. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he found in any way of them, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him, about him, a light from heaven. Verse 4. And he fell on the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecutest me? Those of you who have the red letter edition, you see that section that says, Saul, Saul, why thou persecutest me, is written in red, which means the voice the voice in what's being heard is coming from Christ himself. Verse 5 says his, and he said unto, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus who thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Verse 6. And he trembled and astonished, saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into that city, and it shall be told unto thee what you must do. Verse 7. And the men that journeyed along with him stood speechless, hearing the voice and seeing no man. Verse 8, and Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Verse 9, and he was there for 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor did he drink. I want to take a look at this scripture here, and you may ask, hey, how is this dealing with relationships and not religion? Well, I'm going to break it down to you for a little bit here. We read here that Saul was on his way out to start killing. He's already been doing it, but he's continuing to start to kill the followers of Christ. In fact, that by this time, biblically, Jesus is already passed on. He's hanging out on the right hand side of the Father. But we're looking here where it says, you know, I need to go out and do this. I need to go out and start killing the Christians. And I read this and so many things jumped off at the page. And I want to give me a few moments here to break some things down to you. The reason, you see, God could have easily have just killed Saul, stop all the madness. But that's not what happened. God didn't kill Saul to stop all this madness. No, he took Saul. I'm going to use you as a tool to start winning souls. Let's look at it a little bit deeper here. Before Saul, Saul went about this thing the right way. When I say he went about this thing the right way, he went and got permission to do what he was going to do. It says here, verse 2 said, and he desired him letters to Damascus, from the synagogue, from the synagogue. He, when you see the phrasing, you're talking about the synagogue. Saul went and got permission from the church to start killing church folk. You mean, don't shout me down. I want to show you some things here. The reason why I believe that the synagogue and allowed Saul to do what he was doing, because they knew he was a man of conviction. He's one of those people that will move 100 miles an hour, and he puts it all into it. So I said, if this is the man, this is the man we need to do, because what's going on out here is messing up with the mainline church and the mainline religious mentality that we have. So we're going to send this man out. We're going to dispatch him out. We're going to give him papers to go out and start killing everyone. And see, the reason why Saul didn't have issue with this, because he was at the presence of the stoning of Stephen when Stephen was killed. He was there. So, and Stephen was stoned by the church because he was being different. He was walking out a gospel. And the problem was, he wasn't walking out the way the mainstream church wanted it to walk out. So guess what? We're going to go ahead and stone him. And Saul was there. So the mentality he has, and some of us have it too, if the church is doing it, it must be right. So Saul went out and got papers from the church saying he can do this. He also got letters from the government saying he's allowed to do this. So he's backed by the government and he's backed by the church to go out and start killing Christians. What I see here is that in this realm, Saul did not have a relationship with God when he did this. And it's proven to you here in verse 4 of Acts 9. It says, and he fell upon his face and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why thou persecuted me? Verse 5 here says, and he said unto them, thou, who art thou, Lord? Now my Bible says that my sheep know my voice. And since Paul, Saul, I keep calling Paul, his name was changed later on, work with me here. Since Saul did not recognize the voice of God, that means to tell me you didn't have a relationship with him. Some of us God is speaking to, and we're not hearing him because we don't have a relationship with him. We cannot recognize the voice of God. And this is what the problem came in, that Saul did not recognize the voice of God because he did not have a relationship with God. If he had a relationship, he would have recognized the voice immediately. Some of us God is speaking to and we don't recognize his voice. That's because your relationship is slowly being separated. The Bible makes a statement and says, my sheep know my voice. And when they hear it, they will not follow another. The Bible always talks about who shall separate me from the love of God. Who's going to separate us? And since it didn't say what, it says who. But it listed all these things that can cause a separation. But you know, the thing that's separating us from the relationship with Christ is us. So Saul could not recognize the voice of God because he had been listening and watching the way the church moved. So the church said, we can do this. The church and the government came together in agreement and said, we want you to do this, because this new movement that's going on is disrupting our flow. Who knows, God will disrupt the flow of things so he can get somebody's attention. And that's what he did here with Saul. He knocked him off his horse. And he hit the ground, and he started hearing the voice of God. he had two other witnesses who heard the same voice. No one else heard this. It was Saul and the two men that were with him that heard the voice of God. Didn't see nothing. Didn't see nothing. And he got up, and they said he was blind. And they said he had to be led. He had to be led away. Verse 10 says, and there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And he said, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, bold, I am here, Lord. This is how you know Ananias had a relationship with God, because he understood and he recognized the voice right away. Unlike Saul, who heard the voice of the Lord and didn't recognize it, he had to actually ask, who is this speaking? Ananias didn't have to do that because of the relationship he had with God. Let's go to verse 11 of Acts 9. And they make a statement here, he said, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street that's called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas, the one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. What caught me is really funny here is that in verse 11, they talk about that God is telling Ananias to go to a city that's called, to the street that's called Straight. I need you to get in that straight and narrow. I need you to get to this location. But what caught me as funny here is that all the places that God had Saul being led to, it was to the house of Judas. The house of Judas. Judas, the one that betrayed Jesus, that's the house I need you to go to. Oh my goodness. Verse 12 says, and had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and put his hand upon him that he might receive sight. God told Ananias that Saul already had the vision that Ananias was on his way. See, Saul had enough sense to understand, in the position that I'm in, I need to go and I need to pray. I need to go, I need to get myself together. Let's go back. On verse 9 of Acts 9, it says here that, and he went 3 days without sight, nor did he eat or drink. Saul had enough sense to know I need to get into my prayer closet. Saul had enough sense to know that I need to start fasting and praying, because I need to find out what's going on. I'm out here doing what I thought God called me to do because the church said to do it. You hear what I'm saying? A lot of us, Christ is not, we don't have a relationship with Christ. Christ is a friend of a friend. Friend of a friend. What do you mean by that? Well, let me tell you what I mean by that when I say he's a friend of a friend. Glory to God. When I say he's a friend of a friend, I know God through you. I don't know him for myself. I know Jesus Christ through my organization or my denomination. I don't have that personal relationship with him to know him for myself. And since I don't know him for myself, I'm taking instruction from someone else on God's will and God's destiny for my life. Instead of going to Christ himself, instead of getting to my own prayer closet to find out what's going on. I can guarantee you that if Saul would have gotten to his prayer closet and said, I've seen this thing happen in Stephen, and they want me to go out and do these things. Lord, what do you want me to do? Am I helping someone out here? This is a call out to some leaders also. You need to watch the way you lead your people, because they're looking at you. Not everyone's going to be mature enough to say, listen, I need to go ahead and follow Christ. They're doing like the word says, they're following you as you follow Christ. Yes, is that a high mandate? Yeah, it's a high mandate. But you know what? It's a responsibility God has placed on you. So don't mess up the responsibility that God's placed on you. That's not the word say. It says here in the Bible, too much is given, much is required. This is required because you don't want this blood on your hands. So the church sent them out here to do this thing. Let's go on a little further. And Ananias answered and said, Lord, I've heard many things of this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And he had the authority from the chief priests, the church. You hear what I'm saying? These people, Ananias and all the other followers of Jesus, realize that this man has authority from the church. From the chief priests here in verse 14, to bind all that call thy name. The Lord said, verse 15, the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. Verse 16, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. When I see this, God is showing me that, you know, Ananias had a question. But if you notice in here, you never see Ananias saying, Lord, I'm not going to do it because of the reputation this man has. I know you're going to take care of me. See, Ananias had a relationship with God to the point of God said, I need you to walk into this dangerous man's territory, that you're going to do it. Why? Because I know God's going to take care of me. It goes back to something David said in the 23rd Psalm, when he makes the statement, said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And he tells you why, because he said, I know thou art with me. I know God is with me. So my question to you today is, how many of us of God is deemed to walk somewhere that you're a little fearful of walking, because you have a perception of how the outcome might happen. God wants you to witness to someone, so Lord, I can't witness to them, they're evil acting. No. God has already set the way. That's not the Bible talks about how your gift will make room for you. Well, your gift for winning souls will make room for you before you get there, no matter who the individual is. Ananias said here, he said, this man has got papers from the priest. He's got letters from the church saying he's allowed to kill us, but you want me to go and lay hands on him. God, in all his wisdom, went ahead and basically put Ananias' heart at ease when he says that, verse 12 said, and he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so he may receive sight. This right here is a perfect example that my gift will make room for me. They knew I was coming before I got there. Saul knew he was going to get killed by Ananias before Ananias got there. I believe if God didn't even tell Ananias this, Ananias has such a relationship with God that he would have went anyway. Let's go on a little bit further here. Verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way of thou comest, has sent me that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. That's beautiful right there. He went in and confirmed everything. He walked in and said, you know what? I'm here, and I know you know I'm here, because God told me that he told you that I was coming to lay hands on you so that you can see. He came to lay hands on you so that your vision comes up even clearer, so that you can have the ability to see that there's a miracle given happen in your life. You know, there's several things in this scripture, in this whole passage, really, that I need to bring out. Well, first of all, they said he fasted and no water to eat, no drink for 3 days. And the Bible 3 represents the Trinity came together. But God had to take away Saul's natural sight so he could increase his spiritual sight. Let me break that down for you. When God took Saul's natural sight away, the first thing Saul decided he needed to do, I need to go ahead and fast. I need to get in my prayer closet because I can't see things naturally. So if I can't see things naturally, only way I can start seeing certain things is in the spirit. How do you know he saw something in the spirit? Oh, let me show you here. He says in verse 8, he said, and Saul rose from the earth and went to, and his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days without sight, neither eat nor drink. And there was a certain, come on, let's go a little bit further. Verse 11, and this is God talking to Ananias, and the Lord said unto him, rise and go into the street called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas, the one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, Saul's in prayer. Saul's in prayer. This is how you know his natural sight is gone. His spiritual eyes are just open, and he saw a vision. He saw a vision in his prayer time. Since he didn't have no natural sight, he had to see this thing through his spiritual eyes. And through his spiritual eyes, he saw his healing. Some of us, when God takes away natural things, we don't look into the realm of the spirit so we can see our deliverance that's going to take place. What happened with Saul, he got delivered from what he was to what God has called him to be. From what he's supposed to be doing, from what he was doing to what he's supposed to be doing. And with a lot of us, we don't fall in that realm, because as soon as things start shaking up in the natural realm, we go into a state of panic. I didn't call you to panic. Understand what I'm saying? God didn't call you to panic. The Bible talks about how weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. What I like about that particular scripture is that weeping may endure for a night, which means it might not happen. It means you don't have to cry your way through. You hear what I'm saying? Don't cry your way through. Praise your way through. What Saul did when this issue, that's exactly what we call it, it's an issue. When this issue of me losing my natural sight went, I immediately went into the prayer closet. And when I got to my prayer closet, God gave me my answer right then and there. My question is, how many of us, when you go into your prayer, when an issue hits, you go straight into your prayer closet? Come on. God will put the ones around you to even boost you in your prayer closet. What do you mean to put the ones around you? Well, Saul, when this happened, the two witnesses heard everything that Saul heard. And they had enough sense, listen, we're going to go ahead and help this man out. Because since we're witnesses to this thing, you know, who knows, God will give you a couple of witnesses for your testimony. Amen. That's for somebody today. But I want to get back into how this relates to a relationship. If Saul had a true relationship with God, if some of us today had a true relationship with God, we would not be running 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. If Saul had a true relationship with God, a couple of things would have taken place. One, he wouldn't have been out there killing these people. Amen. Two, he wouldn't have to change his name. See, in scripture, Saul changed his name to Paul. And he did that mainly because, and this is my belief, he did that mainly because the name Saul carries so much fear and weight. He could not go into towns anymore from that point to witness the people. He could not go in there and perform the miracle signs and wonders that God has already placed on the inside of him, because it says here, he's a great man, and I needed him to see that he's a great man. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. He can't prove himself to be a chosen vessel with the name Saul attached to him. Am I helping someone out here? Sometimes God will change your identity so you could walk out what he called you to walk out into, because people are seeing you the way you were and not the way you are and the way God has called you to be. So when your transformation takes place, sometimes they can't even recognize you. Am I helping someone out here? So his name had to be changed from Saul to Paul, because the name Saul carried death with it. The name Saul carried persecution with it. What does it say in Acts? We're going to jump all the way up to the first verse. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slander against the disciples of the Lord. The name Saul breathed out threatenings and slander, but the name Paul did not. So when they heard Paul was coming into town, all of a sudden things changed. The dynamic changed. See, some of these people didn't even know what Saul looked like, but they heard the name. That name carried weight. Your name will carry weight. So the name Saul carried weight of threatenings and death, but the name Saul carried weight of life and miracles. So you need to work on, we need to work on what we name ourselves, how our names need to be changed, how God will change your complete identity so he can get the glory. Let's keep going on a little bit further. And Ananias went, verse 17, I'm jumping down to verse 17. It says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands and said, Brother Saul, see, he embraced him as a brother. Who? I know you've been out here doing wrong. I've been knowing you out here killing folk. I know you've been out here doing, and the thing is, I know you were misled. Come on, somebody. Some people, you know, we're going to keep holding their past back behind them. What I like about Ananias, he did not hold Saul's past behind him. He embraced him. He called him brother. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way thou comest has sent me. Come on now. Jesus told Ananias, this is what's going to happen. He's sitting there waiting for you. Come on. Unto me, that thou may receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Receive your sight. Now that my spiritual vision has been lined up and set right, now my natural vision is, go ahead and get along with that. Verse 18 said, and immediately they fell on their eyes as it were, had been scales, and received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Come on. The baptism is symbolic of you're going down in the water one way, you're coming back up fresh and renewed. He went down. He got his sight back. Come on now. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, all that was done in private. Now we're going to take you outside. Let everybody see that you have truly changed. So we're going to baptize you. You have truly changed. Some of us, we have truly changed, but people have not seen the change in our lives, because we still carry around some of the old weights and the old baggages. But God, who knows, God will turn that thing around. All you got to do is get back in right relationship with Him. All you got to do is get back in right alignment with Him. All you got to do this thing is just get back on the path God has called you. See, you have to say, I believe that God calls Saul from the womb to do these things because he had a mindset, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm not wavering. I'm not straddling the fence. I'm not going to be lukewarm. The Bible makes a statement, talks about, so you know, don't be lukewarm, either you be hot or cold, because if you lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I believe God chose Saul for this task, to go out and preach to the people, after he changed his name to Paul, to preach to the people, to show miracles, signs, and wonders. I believe God did that because God knew if I gave him this task, he would go in it 100%. The same way he went in 100% because he still thought he was doing the right thing. And I know he'll go and just do it 100% when I open his eyes and show him what the right thing is. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we need to take a step back and say, Lord, okay, I'm doing this, but I don't understand it.